Acts chapter 6 is the scripture text for this evening. It is printed on the flip side of your order of service, or you may turn in your copy of the scriptures and follow along when I read it in a moment. The farmers in South Alabama had a problem, but as often is the case, the way they solved the problem actually turned out to be that the problem turned into a blessing. Let me share it with you. Farmers in southern Alabama were accustomed to planting one crop every year, cotton. They would plow as much ground as they could and plant the crop. Year after year, they lived on cotton. Then one year, the dreaded boll weevil devastated the whole area. So the next year, the farmers mortgaged their homes and planted cotton again, hoping for a good harvest. But as the cotton began to grow, the boll weevil came back and destroyed the crop, wiping out most of the farms. The few who survived those 2 years of the boll weevil decided to experiment the third year. So they planted something they'd never planted before, peanuts. And peanuts proved so hardy, and the market proved so ravenous for that product that the farmers who survived the first 2 years reaped profits that third year that enabled them to pay off all their debts. They planted peanuts from then on and prospered greatly. Then you know what the farmers did? They spent some of their new wealth to erect in the town square a monument to the boll weevil. If it hadn't been for the boll weevil, they never would have discovered peanuts. You know, the church in Jerusalem had a problem. But the problem, and in particular how they went about handling that problem, solving that problem, led to a great blessing, not only for them, but for the church down through the centuries, even to today. It's where we get the model for the office that we call deacons. Follow with me as we read Acts 6, beginning verse 1. Through verse 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Just a word of explanation. The Hellenists were the Greek-speaking Jews, Jewish Christians. The Hebrews were the Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians. Verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Would you bow with me for prayer again? Father, we thank you for the way that you provide for your church. We pray, Lord, that we would see in the establishment of this office, this position, Lord, how you have blessed your church. And we thank you, Lord, for the men that you have raised up here. We pray that you would help these men to become faithful deacons, even as the men who are serving and have served have been so. But Father, most of all, we pray that your church would be a display, this church, Lord, would be a display of your grace, your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice 4 things from this passage. First of all, is the problem. They had a problem. You saw what it was. It's really, we could say, problems. Manifold problem. The first problem was the problem of growth. Did you know that growth can cause problems sometimes? Well, obviously, if you grow in the wrong way physically, you'll have to increase your wardrobe, right? But there's problems sometimes when a church grows. And the problem is that the more people there are, guess what? The more problems there are. Because we are all sinners. And so we see the problem here was that the church had devoted itself to caring for the widows. And some of the widows felt like they were being slighted. The Greek-speaking widows felt like they were being not cared for in the same way that the Hebrew-speaking widows were. As long as it's just a few, it's not a big deal. But because the church had grown, it was really more than the apostles could deal with. You know, Proverbs 14:4 speaks to this. It says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. In other words, where you don't have any people or any oxen, you can keep a clean manger, right? But by the ox comes, the strength of the ox comes much increase, the abundant crops. So which problem would you rather have? An empty church or a church with people that who bring problems? Well, we would always rather have the people and their problems. But another problem is the problem of ministry, because people need ministry. People need genuine, and they need their genuine needs to be met. And we seek to do that here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. We are called by the Lord. Paul writes in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've often read, not just from John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but 1 John 3:16, that God so loved us, we are to love one another. And how can we say we have love in our hearts if we have brothers and sisters in need and we have the means to meet that need and we don't do that? So we are called to love. We're called to bear one another's burdens. And the church here in Jerusalem wanted to do that. But it was becoming a problem addressing it, because it had been the responsibility, apparently, of the apostles. But it got to be more than they could do. So that reveals the third problem, the problem of priorities. It wasn't that the apostles were lazy and didn't want to do the work. It was that that was not their primary priority, and it took them away from their primary priority. They said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And that was what was happening. Now, while preaching is not the only thing they did, it's not the only thing that pastors do, it is the main thing, the most important thing. And so they needed to come up with a way to address that situation. And so that led to the second thing. That was the problem, or those were the problems. The second thing is the proposal. What was the idea that they came up with? Well, we need more servant leaders. We need more men who don't have to preach, but they can serve the Lord. They can lead the church in serving in other ways. And so the apostle said to the congregation, therefore, brothers, verse 3, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Notice the apostles took the lead. They said, congregation, you need to pick 7 men. They even designated the number. But then they directed the congregation regarding the qualifications. They said, pick out men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. It's not just any old person that needs to be in this position. It needs to be men who have good reputation, not only in the church, but also in the community. Not men who are of questionable character. Not only that, they need to be full of the Spirit, because they're going to be making decisions at times. They're going to need wisdom. They're going to need the Spirit and need wisdom to discern, sometimes when you have limited resources, how best to use those resources. And so you need to have men who are of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. That's why the Apostle Paul gives qualifications in that Pastor Greg read earlier from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. It's interesting that if you look at 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13, you have qualifications for two offices in the church. Elder, overseer, pastor, and deacon. In all those 13 verses, there are many qualifications. There's only one skill required, and that's for pastors, and that is able to preach. Unless you count ruling your household well as being a skill, which to a certain extent it is. The vast majority of the qualifications are character qualifications. That's why we put a big emphasis on making sure that the men who are serving you here, Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, are men who meet these biblical qualifications. E.M. Bounds, in his book, Power Through Prayer, wrote this: "We are constantly on a stretch, if not on a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, new organizations to advance the church and secure enlargement and efficiency for the gospel. This trend of the day has a tendency to lose sight of the man or sink the man in the plan or organization. God's plan is to make much of the man, far more of him than of anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but a man. Men, men of prayer." So, it was important that they choose the right men. The apostles designated the number. They gave direction for the qualifications. But they also delegated the work. Notice, again, verse 3. "We will appoint to this duty." I really like the way the New American Standard, it says, "whom we may put in charge of this task." Because even seven men, by that time, there was a church of thousands. All right? And even seven men could not do all of the work that was needed. But they were responsible to make sure that the needs were met. So the proposal was, we need some qualified men to serve this church. And then that leads us to the procedure, which we're just going to touch on. First of all, was selection by the congregation. It says, "And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." So the congregation chose the men. They said, who are the men? Who are the men that meet these qualifications? And they chose these seven. But then the apostles did what we're going to be doing shortly. They laid hands. They ordained, set apart these men. They set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Nothing is communicated in terms of power or unction or anything in the laying on of the hands. It is a symbolic act. But it represents that these men are set apart. I mean, I have no power to give to these men. Pastor Greg doesn't. None of the deacons do, or the men who are going to be laying hands on them. I mean, certainly the Lord does, but the Lord does not do that because we lay our hands on them. We've already recognized that the Lord has set these men apart, or they wouldn't be elected and being set apart for service. So they're selected by the congregation, ordained by the apostles. We have a procedure. We've gone through that procedure. It takes a few months to go through that procedure. It's very deliberate. It takes time because we want to make sure the outcome is that we here have the right servant leaders who will enable the word of God to keep spreading, the number of disciples to increase in this place. We believe we have two men tonight who will serve us well in this aim. The last thing that we see, and the one that we pray will come about as a result, is the proof. The proof that this was of the Lord's design. and plan. First of all, the church was pleased. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. Now that is an act of God. It pleased the whole gathering. That's definitely a work of the Lord. Not only that, the gospel was proclaimed. It says the word of God continued to increase. How? Because the pastors, the apostles in this case, were freed up to continue preaching. They were not distracted from it by waiting on tables, as it were. And then the church was multiplied. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So our desire is that as a result of the servant leaders that the Lord is raising up here, the church will be served well. And the congregation will be pleased, but most of all, the disciples of the Lord Jesus will greatly multiply in this place. I'm going to ask Paul Cameron and Ron Cox to come forward, and we're going to ask them to sit here, and the ordained men, if you're an ordained deacon or minister, whatever this church, as I indicated, or another church, we would ask that you would line up from my left, your right, and just a brief word or two to each of them. Let me pray, and then I'll ask them to come. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the love that the people here have for you, for the desire they have to honor you, and for the seriousness with which this congregation takes your word. And Lord, it's because of that that they have prayerfully considered candidates for this position and have elected these men to serve your church. And now, Father, we pray that you would indeed continue to fill these men with your Spirit, that you would help them and help us to help them to fulfill the responsibilities of being a deacon in your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.